We hope to have plenty of mouthwash to pass out there that day. We might need it, I don't know. Might want me to have some before it's over with. But we'll be preaching out of 1 John chapter 2. Read one verse there, verse number 18. John here, speaking to the church. Reason I say speaking to the church, because he uses these words, my little children. And he says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I want to use those last words there. Know that it is the last time. We want to try to preach that today. Please pray with me and for me. Father, we thank you for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, no preacher can preach without it. Lord, I pray even right now you'd fill my home with oil. Anoint me from on high, anoint me afresh. Not just me, Father, but all the men that are standing right now are getting ready to stand for the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd fill them. Give to them. Give to me. That we may have to give to the ones before us. And we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, help me, I pray. The Lord will not preach in the flesh. Lord, as many will. And Lord, I could also without the help of God, so help me and them. They will yield to the Spirit. Lord, they will be in subjection to the higher powers, the powers that be of God. Lord, they will be, I pray, vessels that could be used of God. And I pray with it, Lord, that you'd preach to me and through me, that we all may be able to say that we've heard from God today. Lord, we thank you, Father, if we've not asked one single thing, the Lord's impossible God. You're able to do all that we've asked. We pray it be your good will to do these things. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. John here says, know that it is the last time. I know they think this Bible's archaic, outdated, no need in putting any heed to it. Yet the Bible itself says we do well to take heed to it. We do well to look in it. We do well to read the precious Word of God and not let it depart from our eyes. And John says here that there are antichrists in the world. And let me say, I'm not at liberty this morning to say what I'd like to say. And the reason I say that is because I don't have the facts to back up what I'd like to say this morning. I have shared with some of the people in this church some things this morning that were alarming to me to know, but I want you to know, buddy, there are some things going on in our country, this country that's been raised up, this godly nation that has stood for the glory of God, that was founded upon the Word of God, that I'll tell you what, boy, used to stand 10 foot tall, in the eyes of other nations that wondered what was so great about America, even though we're falling by the wayside, even though we've compromised, we've been bought out. I heard a man preach this morning, and he said about everything in America now is owned by other countries. We've sold our heritage. I wish we had more Nabals. They said not for sale at the offer that the devil would make, but unfortunately, we've not got Nabals. I'll tell you what we've got. We've got what will you give me for it? Esau's, I'm telling you right now, they sold his birthright for a morsel of meat, sold it for a pottage of lentils, a bowl of beans, for lack of a better word. We got more Esau's than we got Nabals. Amen. I mean, it runs deep. I may mention in Sunday school, I'll take my time here just a minute here, just to bring you aware of some things. You can be arrested now for having church in your home. Let's just take, for instance, Brother Hire and Sister Carolyn says, I don't care. We're going to have Bible study down at the house. You want to meet down there? We'll get a Bible, a cup of coffee, sit on the front porch or in the living room or whatever, and we'll look and study the Word of God. Well, that's an unlawful assembly now. Men laid down their lives so we can have liberty, pursuit of happiness and rights. But now it's unconstitutional. Now it's an unlawful assembly. Also, they've passing laws as I speak. My pastor was trying to fill in the blanks for me a little bit this morning that it's going to be against the law to homeschool your children because it makes your children intolerable, intolerant, unconstitutional because tolerance is one-sided. They want me to tolerate them, but they don't want to tolerate me, so the law's got to be against me, so the wrong can be made right, and my right can be made wrong, so I'll be breaking the law if I homeschool my children. Now you that teach these young children in Sunday school, take advantage of the time that you have. This is not just an asserted effort. This is a attribute of the Antichrist that's in the world. I told you I'd done a military funeral about a week ago up in Nancy, Kentucky, is where we buried this saint of God, the oldest member on the books of the church, Ernest Ramey. When we went up there, one thing I noticed right off the bat, and I'll look for it, there was not one single cross in that military graveyard. Now the reason there wasn't because ACLU threatened to sue the United States of America because the offense of the cross, they was afraid it would offend someone if they came out to the graveside and they saw a cross in there in the cemetery. And by the way, they got their way. There are no crosses in the Arlington Cemetery. There are no crosses in the military cemetery up here in Nancy. And the reason for it, there are antichrists in the world. The offense of the cross. Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Everybody's not happy about the cross. I'm happy. I'm the one supposed to have been on the cross, Sister Carolyn. I'm the Barabbas that got to go free, Sister Anita. He took my place. That's why we got an empty cross. I come up here this morning, I noticed Brother Anthony had a cross in his front yard, and I told Peyton and Dawson, I said, boy, ain't that a blessing? See that cross right there? I know it makes some mad, but it makes me glad. But the Antichrist, he'll try to have every move. The Antichrist will say, that's unconstitutional. I went up to Elizabethtown yesterday. Now, you take I-65 north to go to Elizabethtown. When you get to Upton, there's an adult bookstore on one side of the road. Great big billboard up there, adult bookstore, X-rated movies and books for sale. On the other side of the road, Sister Gay, there used to be a billboard over there that had Ten Commandments on it. But it was declared unconstitutional. The man that owned that property, his name is Norman Cottrell. I met him on the radio program in Horse Cave, Kentucky. And he came up there asking people to pray that he'd be able to keep this billboard on his own property because he wanted it there. I'll wake you up. It's gone. Antichrist in the world. It really hurt to look over and see where it was. To see the effort, a godly man, on the inspiration of God, was motivated, used to be my foreman at Donnelly's, moved to put upon himself this tremendous task to go all over the United States of America and obtain permits and permission to erect these billboards to try to wake America to what in the world's coming upon America has now been having to go out and take them down because there are antichrists in the world. Amen. Took down. How come the billboard for the adult bookstore is not unconstitutional? You know why they took them down? They said it violated the beauty. Let's see, let me see. This is pathetic. It violated the Beautifying of the Highways of America Act. Now, why in the world could a billboard with Ten Commandments on it be more gross than a billboard with an adult bookstore that you could see further away than you could the one. I don't get it. Only I can figure is there must be so many antichrists in the world that we're asleep at the wheel. And we see the aftermath. Those billboards were gone. Oh, how it grieved me to look and see where they were. Oh, how I longed to see them raised back up again. I told somebody one day I was going to go down the road like Johnny Appleseed instead of planting apple trees. I was going to go about every mile and put a cross on the side of the road just so they'd have to come back and take them up. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, boy, that's sad. That's reality. Listen, if you don't believe me, take I-65 and go up towards Upton. Them two billboards is gone. Norman Cottrell, very wealthy, godly Christian man. I've met him. I love him in the Lord. Wanted to keep those billboards on his own property. They've done everything right. They obtained permits. They put it exactly where they told them to put it in. They've done everything right. There are many antichrists in the world. All them billboards having to come down. That's sad. My foreman that puts them billboards up, he's got one on his own personal property, and he said they'll have to take it down. I'm not taking it down. But on that billboard it said, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? I'll share with y'all some of the testimonies of men that have been saved just because they seen that billboard. They've been saved. One man had wrote a suicide note, was going to go drive his car into Barren River Lake, and he saw that billboard and pulled it. Called on the side of the road, repented, got saved, went back home, told his family, got saved, he's sorry, going to try to do better. I'll tell you right now, sin, I'll make no mistake about it, sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Sin will ensnare you. Sin will enslave you. Sin will get its claws around you. It'll cause you to do the unthinkable. And when sin's done with you, it'll say you ain't fit to live. Take your life. Amen.
It will. That's
right. I'll wake you up. Many antichrists in the world. Okay, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy because I'm going to do some expository preaching on antichrist. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible said this, know also that in the last days, that's where we're at. These last days that have come upon us, that's where we're at today. This 2012, June the 10th, Sunday morning, where many people today are not in the house of God. Amen. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Let me tell you, it's time to load your gun, lock your door, and turn the dog loose. Sleep with one eye open. Shoot first, then ask questions. I can tell you of a church not too far from here. The preacher's got a gun on him right now. I can't back this up. Everybody in the congregation is packing a gun and they know they've been informed. They know why they're armed. Because I tell you what, they're preaching the truth. They know they're going to be shut down. They know they don't have long. I met one of the members this week. I'm not at liberty to speak what we disclosed because I don't have the facts to back it up. But what he told me slid my hair another inch down the back of my head. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Men crept in unaware. Now, boy, I tell you what, changing laws. Yeah. Verse 2 said, men to be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. Tell you what, buddy. We're at the last time. This is the last days. Verse 3 said, they're despisers of those that are good. You start living for God, you'll find out this word still applies, still true. I've had people in this church tell me they've lost all their friends. I said, it comes with it. Oh yeah. I got better friends. But all my friends, you thought I had AIDS or something, Sister Anita. I mentioned that name, Jesus. And man, I'm telling you, buddy, I may need some mouthwash. I don't know. They took off flying. Maybe my breath does stink. I'll tell you one thing, buddy, they'll despise you if you bear His name. If you love Him, you'll find out, buddy, it'll cost you something. You'll find out, buddy, they'll despise you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Lovers of their own selves. Now, I'll tell you what, they don't have sales stuff. You deserve this. You come a long way, baby. You owe it to yourself. They know how to sell stuff. We're lovers of our own self. Boy, if you had one of them, boy, what would they think? That man that left his family, my brother, whom I love, went out and bought him a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Oh, man, I need everything but one of them. I did have one at one time. And the reason I don't have it is because I know it's going to kill me. It was just a matter of time. They got close to doing it. I had my wife on the back of that thing trying to do a wheelie, and she got off, and I said, now watch me. I've done a wheelie all right. It reared up. It threw me up in the air, and I mean, the tar must got hot or something. Instead of spinning out like it had been doing her on the back, and I'm trying to show off, I'm full of pride. I let down that big throttle and let on that clutch, and it never spun an inch. It reared straight up and threw me up in the air. I'm 10 foot up in the air looking at her, looking down, and there's a Harley Davidson sports car underneath me down there squalling around trying to take off, and it's got a big 60 bar sticking this high off the back of it with a big sharp point on it, and I'm fixing to be impaled, and it finally took off. By the grace of God, I got spared. Licked my pride up when God was left that Harley. We rode it home and I sold it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You don't need to be drunk on a Harley like I was. You don't need to be showing off like I was. And I'll tell you right now, there's some people, they didn't get so lucky. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Not everybody gets spared. I don't understand why God spares some. I don't understand why some just get one chance. I don't. I don't understand why God put up me. I know the man God saved, it wasn't much. But I'm glad God saved me, amen. And I don't understand. I didn't deserve, these other people deserve better than what I got. I don't understand it. It don't make no sense. I've tried to figure it out. Boasters. Despisers of those that's good. These are the last days. You hear anybody mention the name Jesus lately on TV? Hear anybody? Any good news on there? Something really good. You know, they up here at Somerset right now, the radio's on the good news I know. 88.3 King of Kings. They're trying. Boy, them preachers have been wearing out this week trying to convince people they don't need alcohol in Somerset. They're being despised for it. David Carr said, we've been putting signs up. Somebody's been coming and stealing them. They found them in the creek, in the river. Despisers. Those that's good. And I'll wake up this morning and I'll try to bring you up to date. Also, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Y'all have seen the size of the boat I followed up here this morning. I didn't know it was legal to put a boat that big in the lake. I'm used to a little bitty boat, a little tiller handle, you know, or paddle or something. And this was an ark. And they was pulling it behind, I don't know what, it's some kind of big Chevrolet Suburban or something, and it wouldn't have no fun pulling it. But not just the size of the boat I followed, but the fact that the day is the Lord's day, and they took no regard for the day, no thought for the day, no regard for God. They're going to go put that boat in the water and have a big time. Listen, I'm not against that. I'll just tell you right now, you just better be careful. The Lord might show up. For all I know, it may be a preacher on vacation. I'll tell you right now, he better hope the Lord don't show up. And I'll tell you what, even when I'm on vacation, I'm going to be in the house of God on Sunday. Amen. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. You tell me where it says stay home or go somewhere else on Sunday in the house of God. All them Harleys I met on the way up here, I remember Peyton and the Dawson, they was in the car. We met three Harleys, and I told them, I said, it's starting to rain. I'm going to be honest this morning. For lack of better words, I rejoiced in spirit. And I said, I hope it comes a frog grounder. And they have to put the boat loaded back up and put the harleys up and at least go home and sulk because they can't have no fun on the Lord's day. But the lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God, we got clear room. They could have been here this morning. They might have to dodge and duck, fill the back row up, maybe sit back there in the Sunday school room or something. But I'd rather have them here. Oh, me. Love of many waxed cold. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12 says, I'm going to read this sad email to you. This is from Bethel Baptist Church, from the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, my pastor, Ricky Prophet. Some of us are here. People are gone. A lot of people are busy. A lot of people are busy and on vacations. So it's important that we all make extra effort to attend the services and make weekly contacts. Our Sunday school's been off 15 to 20 people in the last few weeks, so try hard to be in Sunday school. That's pretty sad. Now, this is my church. I've been there for 20 plus years. I know what it's like over there. Let me tell you something, buddy. This is sad. This is a sad time that people have become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me tell you something. The only problems they got over at Bethel is making room for people to come in and get blessed, hear the Word of God. And yet the days we're living in, my pastor had to send out an email like this. I had to read it and I thought, oh my God. Man, that's sad. That a man of God's got to plead with the congregation to try to be there. But really the love of many is waxed cold. I'm looking in y'all's faces. Y'all looking at my old ugly mug. You know, I told Brother Rick this morning, I said, Brother Rick, I said, I never know what's on people's mind. The only thing on my mind is I love Jesus. Man, I want to hear Him preach, sung, testified. Man, I just can't get enough of Him, but I've done realize everybody's not like me. Everybody's not fanatical. Everybody's not, you know, just, for lack of a better word, just rump for this world, just full of the love of God and longing to meet the Lord and all that. I know that. I don't know what's on your mind, but I'll tell you one thing God does. And you know what? That man I told you that left the church, left his family, loving wife, a working wife, that prayed for her husband. I saw her go to the altar many times and weep and pray for him while he was sick. Got a little boy, just got saved. Little Tyler. Loving daughter. Not going to be much of a Father's Day next Sunday, Sister Carolyn. He's gone. He divorced them. He's kind of like a Demas. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Kind of like that prodigal son that went out in a far country, wasted his citizens, riotous living. But the good thing about that prodigal son is he came to himself. He realized his situation, how bleak it was. He said, I perish with hunger, and my father's servants have bread enough to and despair. He said, I'll arise and go to my father. Say, I've sinned. I'm not worthy. Make me a servant. Most people won't come to themselves. I hope this man does. He's my brother. I love him. But oh, look down at verse 5. Having a form. Listen. I don't want your form. I want you to be real.
Amen.
I don't want you to be a hypocrite.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, if you cuss outside the church, cuss in here.
If
you hate the Lord outside, hate Him in here. But don't have a form. I wish we had more reality. Man, what you see here, that's the way I am all the time. Man, out there at work, they hate me. They hate me. The reason they hate me is because I'm just like this out there. I don't put on a different suit. I don't have the S in church. I pull my shirt out, got super Christian underneath there. No, I'm the same way here as I am there. You talk about, boy, getting your ears to burn. You take Jesus with you everywhere you go. You stop somewhere, go in and get a cold drink, and they in there talking some kind of talk, and you praising the Lord, and you walk up there at the counter and say, boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad, praise God, the Lord comes today, I'm ready to go. And they say, here's your change, see you, bye, get out of here. I do it at the bank too. Hey, I was at Dollar General store yesterday. And I was talking a little bit along those lines, and the lady behind me, she started a grunting and carrying on. I just stepped aside and just kept on talking so she'd come on up and get her paper and get on out of here. But I, as long as she's in there, boy, I just kept on praising the Lord. I said, glory to God, the Lord's close to coming back. It's not going to be very long. And praise God, when He comes back, I'm leaving with Him. Amen. Oh, me. Having a form. Most people profess that they know God, but in works, it don't line up. They deny Him. If you're real, be real. If you're not, at least admit it. At least admit it. Admit you're not real and get real. Man, why in the world would you be a cloud with no water? Why in the world would you have a pretense instead of a possession? Why in the world would you just want to look like something when you could really be something? I see people all the time and they put on like they rich or something and come find out they broke than I am. I see people all the time that put on like, you know, that they're somebody they're not and come find out. Man, oh man, it's kind of disappointing. But can you imagine how disappointing it is to the person that's trying to put on all that? Amen, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Having the form of it. Listen, I'd rather have the real thing. Verse 6 says, this sort are they which creep into houses. They'll creep into your house. Lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. There it is again. Scoffers walking after their own lust. What people love will show up eventually. You'll find out what you really love. You'll know the tree by the fruit, the Lord said. What you really love will eventually come to the surface. What you really are will eventually make itself known. But I'm telling you, they've got divers' lust. They've got lust. They don't even know they got. And I'm telling anybody, some of them have been ruined, amen, because they had an opportunity they couldn't resist, amen. And their faith been made shipwreck. Divers lust and sin. You know how they sell things today? Or you put some woman out there half naked or some Hollywood drunkard out there, you know, and he's got some kind of hitch, you know, I left her for two others or whatever. And you know, you put them out there and that's how you sell things nowadays. Sin sells things. Yeah. See all kind of heads and hot. And I'll tell you what, but they know how to sell. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that Moses said he looked this way and he looked that way. And then he killed an Egyptian and buried him. And somebody said, you're going to kill me like that Egyptian? He said, sure, this thing's known. He took off and run plumb out of his shoes. David up on the housetop. Looked down there and there's beautiful Bathsheba. I don't know why she's down there. I guess the devil just wanted it to be. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he didn't hesitate. He had said, bring her to me. Have her brought to me. Convenience is one thing I believe has run a lot of people. Convenience. It'll show up. And get it out. Don't give no place to it. I wouldn't want a rattlesnake in my house. Anybody bring a rattlesnake in their house is a fool. I wouldn't want no drugs in my house. I wouldn't want alcohol be voted in up here in Somerset. You know Somerset's the last place. It's the last place, I think, that they don't sell alcohol. And it's trying to creep in under the rug. They found out that you can go, you know, through some district, somehow or another, they found some loophole or something. But a sin sells and divers sins and divers lust. Look at verse 7. Ignorance. That's one problem too. Ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Ignorance. They're not just ignorant, but they resist the truth. Verse 8 says they resist the truth. And, you know, people, they don't want to know the truth. They say, I don't really want to know. I'd rather not know. Don't tell me. That may change one day. No crosses. Oh, by the way, no God bless. At that military funeral, that man took the liberty upon himself to say, God bless you and your family at this time. Help you through this terrible sorrow and sadness. I appreciate him. I told him, I said, I appreciate you saying God bless this family. Well, I just seen that they're going to ban that. No military funeral is going to be able to say God bless you because they don't want to offend no one. Hey, it offends me. What's wrong with me? Am I not no one? Do I not count? Seducers, he said, will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 13. No homeschooling allowed. No Bible study allowed. We got to figure out some way to slip this in. And the best way to slip it in is to somehow outlaw the truth and somehow keep people from knowing what's right and keep them from knowing what's wrong. Verse 14 through 17 tells you how to escape the deception. He said, continue. If you'll continue, I'll tell you what, you'll make it. He said, Timothy, continue in the things which I have learned. You young people here this morning, let me stop just a minute, park it over here where you're sitting at. He said, continue. Continue to come to church. Continue to pray. You still praying for Brother Eddie? Continue to pray for Brother Eddie. Continue. Come. Continue to ask your friends to come. Continue to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Who else is hiding? Luke. Continue. Continue to come to church. Continue to sing for Jesus. Continue to invite your friends. Young lady, continue. Continue to come. Tell Grandpa, say, I want to go to church. Come get me. I want to come. I want to hear good news. I want to hear that Jesus loved me. I want to hear that Jesus died for me. I want to hear that Jesus made a place called heaven where I could go and not have to worry no more about nothing. Amen. Continue. We older people need to too. But I tell you what, Jesse done got his Bible out there and reading it there. Continue. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. He said, Timothy, continue in the thing which you've learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Notice verse 15. They're from a child. Boy, it's a good place to start. I didn't. About the age of 34, I got in. I wish I had have got in from a child. But Timothy, Paul said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Boy, it'd be good to get our children, get them to Jesus before this world gets them. It'd be good. He said, from a child you've learned. From a child you've known the Scriptures. From a child you've found out they're able to make you wise unto salvation. Then Paul says to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, some people tell you, it's just words of men. Well, that says something different, don't it, Sister Carolyn? It says it's inspired. It said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Psalm 68:11 says the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Psalm 12:6 says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver purified in the furnace of the earth 7 times. So is the word of God. He said, verse 7, thou shalt command them, O Lord, from this generation forever. I'm telling you, God, in His word here, buddy, it's inspired. God sent it. You need it, and you need to get it. Get it in your heart. Get it in your home. I'm telling you, don't let it depart from your eyes. It's correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's for reproof. Now, I put things together all the time, but they go together a whole lot better when I get the instructions out and follow the instructions. And the Bible says I've got instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly. Notice that word's not thoroughly. Thoroughly. It'll get you through. You'll make it. Amen. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You better know it's the last time. Those billboards up there, boy, that was almost more than I could bear. It broke my heart. Made me double my fist up. Man, it's like the time I seen the Passion of Christ. I wanted to get up there. on that screen, and I wanted to stop what I was seeing, and I wanted, I'm telling you, to get someone by the throat, and I tell you what, buddy, tell them to let my Savior alone and quit beating on Him. I'm telling you, I was torn in two different ways. I was overwhelmed with sorrow, and I was ready to get someone and take some bark off their head at the same time. It's the last time. It's the last days. It's not safe no more. These little children ain't safe no more. It's not like it used to be. It's not like back when Lassie was on TV, when you had family-type movies and Andy and them. It's not like that now. Even the cartoons have been marred for the hired. Things have really changed. It's the last days. It's the last time. It's not even really a good time to be young. It really ain't. My granddaughter said, I want the Lord to tarry till I can get married and have kids. I said, honey, He's not going to tarry, but I hope He does. I want her to get married and have kids. I want to spoil them. Grandkids. Hey, man, I'm all for grandkids. I'll take as many of them as I can get. Melvin Simpson said, if they misbehave, I'll take them home. He said, if they don't come back, I'll go get them. Amen. They don't call them grand for nothing. Proverbs 17:6 says, children, his children are the crown of old men. I need something to cover that bald spot up with. Crown of old men. Man, I got a couple crowns. One's driving a car. I'm losing more hair over her, I believe, than ever. Boy, things ain't what they used to be. Things ain't what they need to be. But I'm glad He's going to come down. It is going to be a change you can believe in. I'm glad, boy, we're ripe for the Lord to come. Listen, if you're here lost this morning, I may have preached over your head. But I'll tell you what. When you've got so many lunar eclipses going on, when you've got twin tires falling, when you've got Wilma, Andrews, and Katrina's, when you got earthquakes, when you got floods, it just rains somewhere a foot in like 2 minutes. A foot of rain. Something's going on. Somebody's trying to tell somebody something. And it's all going on in America. But let's put our head in the sand. You know, we're that Christian nation. So called. We're that one nation under God. So called. We're a bunch of hypocrisies. Buddy, we fail from our steadfastness. We're the last. Now, buddy, all the other nations would like to be like this nation. Brother Bobby, they'd like to have the blessing this nation has enjoyed. They'd like to have God as their God. I don't know why God chose America, but He did. God used America to send missionaries to other countries, and many people have been won to God because He sent them from America. I'll tell you right now, buddy, America is a living testimony of the last days. You can look at America and know it's not going to be long till Jesus comes back. It's the last stronghold. And the enemy has been successful to some degree. He's undermined the government. He's undermined the school system. He's undermined the churches. Anybody awake yet? Everybody ain't preaching what you heard this morning. Brother Anthony's having a hard time downloading the messages, Miss Church. We've got watchdogs now. Yeah, if you don't preach the kind of preaching they like, they figure out where you can't put it on the internet where other people can hear it. He's having a hard time downloading the messages from Miss Church on the internet. Because you see, I speak out. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to stop me from speaking out. I hate it. I wished it wasn't so, but things are different now. It's not like it used to be. I'm telling you, they're trying to muzzle the axe. They're trying to muzzle the ox. They're trying to cease the preaching of the truth from the Word of God. Lost my train of thought there. Trying to say muzzle the ox, but they're trying to do like John the Baptist said, cut his head off. That's what they're trying to do. Herodias said, John said, it's not lawful if you have your brother's wife. And Herodias said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Listen, they get my head, it'd be an old bald head on what in the world they do with it. But I'll tell you one thing. Lord God, they won't pick it up by the hair on the top. They'll have to pick it up by the ear. They have it. Lord God, I know where I'll be when they get it, amen. They said Apostle Paul run out there and laid his head down a chopping block from a Mamertine prison and said, hurry up, I'm in a hurry. Get home, glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! Let's get some help, amen. He said, I'm ready. I refuse not. Take it if you need it. I'm ready to go, glory to God.
Amen.
Man, get out with an honor like that. Man, just, my wife's got a book at home. That book's called Voices from Eternity. One of the people that lost their head for the glory of God said they regretted they only had one head to give for one worthy.
Amen.
I believe it was a woman. Yeah, it was. She said, I regret having only one head to give for the glory of my Lord. And they beheaded her. One of the queens of England, I believe. And here we are, half asleep. Sleep at the wheel. And our Christ is saying, finally, I've got the position that I've been wanting. I've got the place I've been longing for. I've got the church asleep. I've censored the preaching from the pulpits. I've got men up there tickling ears. I ain't got anyone up there, buddy. I'll tell you what, and I mean this in a loving way. But I ain't got anyone up there really preaching against sin. You know, most people, I want to go somewhere where they say nice things in kind of a monotone type voice, not real loud, not like screaming like Brother Eddie. But just kind of a, you know, just kind of one in place where they don't disturb you, where you're sitting there about half asleep and you can sleep through it and wake up and say, well, I made it through it. I'm gone. See y'all. Have me a quick nap and get on out. Listen, it's the last days. You're lost this morning. Listen to me. Please listen. This may be the last message. I don't know why the Lord gave me this message. I just know it came from God. I'm just a deliver boy, just a messenger boy. He said, know this, it's the last time. Know this, it's the last days. Know this. I mean, the signs, the eclipses, the catastrophes. I can't even say the word, the catastrophes. Thank you, catastrophes. Thank you, Sister Anita. Told you all I wasn't too smart. All of that right there surely will get through that you'd realize the urgency of this matter. Know it's the last time. Know it's the last days. Please get saved. How long I hope you've got eternity. And I'll tell you one thing. If you miss heaven, just remember you sat in a service like this, shook off conviction. No devil sat down beside you and said, you got plenty of time. He's a liar and the father of it. Jesus said, today's the day. Now's accepted time. He said, your life's but a vapor, a prayer for a little while, and then vanishes away. Lord, help, I pray. In this invitation, Father, I pray you'll help. Lord, I pray everyone here is saved. Lord, if there be any here that's not saved, God, I pray today, Lord, you would usher them by the Holy Ghost of God to come forward and receive Jesus. To receive Him by faith. And Lord, to get Him as a Lord and Savior so they'll be ready if you do come today. Lord, I do believe like a friend of mine, a good brother in the Lord said that you're looking to come and get your church. And he said, I believe he's looking for a June bride. And Lord, I have to admit, I thought, ain't that strange that people get married in June and he's coming for the church, the bride of Christ. He's coming for a chaste church. And Lord, for all I know, you may come today. But that was a thought, Lord. I'm like him. I wondered why you hadn't come already this year. He said, maybe the Lord's wanting a bride, a June bride. And I thought, well, praise God, maybe he is. Lord, I pray someone, Lord, today will make an eternal decision and get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd ask everybody to stand. Brother Melvin, would you please pick us out an invitational hymn? Listen, don't delay. Come, run, come up here, get saved. I don't know what you're waiting on, but I do know if you wait too late, it'll be eternal regret. You'll have an eternity. Remember on services like this, when the Lord tugged at your heart beat like a jungle drum, and you shook it off like old Samson said, I'll shake it off as other times. Well, there was one time he didn't shake it off. He didn't go out as other times. 2:22. Won't you come this morning? Open it right up to it. Christians, you pray this morning. You lost, consider the opportunity God's given you. Have a home in heaven. See your family.
Great day coming.
There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Young and old, are you ready? If not, why not on this June the 10th, Sunday day? Won't you come? Come right now. Come right here. I'll pray with you. Come right now. I see people step out. I see them come forward. Won't you come this morning? Let the Lord receive the one of His suffering. Let Him have the joy of saying, go in peace. I've forgiven you of your sins. Go home and have life and have it more abundantly. Won't you come this morning? The Lord loves you. He's got what you need. Why not get ready? Come on. Better be ready.